ChatGPT is in your house and knows what you did last summer. Ohio AG wants to talk about your car's extended warranty. And Ben Twitter, we have help. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Today's episode of MSP Dispatch is brought to you by CyberDrain's Capture the Flag, a CTF oriented at system administrators and engineers instead of cybersecurity experts. This event is designed to test the skills of everyone in the MSP space so that they can show off what they can do. Beginning February 14th, 2023, with no cost to enter, anyone anywhere in the world is welcome to join up to 1,000 players. And to get an idea of the amazing prizes up for grabs, take a look at last year's awards, including a streamer starter pack, a PS5, a Nintendo Switch, and thousands of dollars in Amazon gift cards, plus more. Be sure to visit ctf.cyberdrain.com to register today.
Good morning and welcome to the January 10th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Good, brother. In the yellow, had an awesome weekend, and everything's good. How are you doing?
I am in the, as Matt Fox likes to say, the turquoise. we decided to do something a little different, so change the coloring behind me to a nice ice blue. I'm going with ice blue. It sounds sexy. Got the computer going ice blue, just going for new theme for the new year.
Your computer to match your...
I did. Down to the RGB values. Absolutely.
What the heck? It's like, oh yeah, my underwear matches my car color. That's how I buy my underwear.
That's not how we roll. speaking of transportation, Tony, you travel a lot. Were you affected by any of the Southwest rescheduling kerfuffle?
No, but I was terrified. I got to be honest with you. The traffic jam. The air traffic jam, the ground traffic, the lack of air traffic jam, was stunning, and it was national, and it was very hush hush in some corners. But talk to me.
So one of the things that like struck me was how easily the whole thing could just crumble, right? And they said it would take a few weeks to get resolved, and apparently they have. Southwest recently announced a new initiative. They're deploying brand new technology. Instead of the pilots having to call in to know what flights they're taking, they're actually been issued Palm Pilots. And this way they can use their Palm Pilot to register their flight and then, you know, get on the schedule. Now, of course, this is absolutely satire. But I appreciate the article because it's just, yeah, it's a thing of beauty. It's like way too perfectly on the nose. I appreciate it. You know who else I appreciate? I appreciate our Discord server that actually brought this story to our attention. Yes, this was brought up by our Discord server. We have the link in the show notes. It's absolutely open to everybody to propose stories, talk about news, shoot the dolphins.
Oh wait, that's hold on. Are you saying that you? I know it does really bad. Are you saying that you are willingly allowing the audience to just say talk about this story?
Well, you know, I grew up where whatever was on the news was on the news, as did you. And this way, this is a more conversational, more engagement. And I'm not saying we're really lazy and want you to pick all the stories, but we're not.
I'm just saying you're bold, man. You are bold allowing our audience to say, yeah, talk about this. I don't know. I mean, do we have time to go through all the inappropriate stuff? But
we have staff for that. But you know what else is bold? The news. How do we get into it?
Let's get into the news.
In my top story in security, ChatGPT, Artificial Intelligence, an Upcoming Cybersecurity Threat, written by Kitaki Borade for darkreading.com. In November 2022, OpenAI introduced ChatGPT, a chatbot that can write software, debug code, explain a complex topic in several ways, and draft essays. We've discussed ChatGPT many times in MSP Dispatch. In cybersecurity, however, ChatGPT could be used in a number of ways, such as identifying and responding to potential threats, improving communication within an organization during an attack. And the past few days have seen developers try different ways to bypass these protocols and actually succeed in getting their desired output. To prevent from writing malware, it is security protocols to identify inappropriate requests. However, a prompt that is detailed enough to explain the bot steps of writing the malware instead of a direct prompt will result in the bot constructing malware on demand. Many criminal groups are already offering malware as a service, but with the assistance of an AI like ChatGPT, it may be quicker and easier for them to launch cyber attacks. Tony, you know, this, I want to be careful, right? Because we want to be, we do our best to just talk about the facts, talk about the story, the relevance. I wonder if this is maybe a little bit like, remember that Google engineer that was proclaiming Google had Google AI had reached sentience, and he was, you know, I forget the name of it. It wasn't Emmybot, that's Derek Catan's product, but it was something like that. And he was saying that, you know, it reached sentience. It was a whole lot of hullabaloo. It was absolute nonsense. I don't know if this is fact or not, but it seems reasonable. It seems possible.
Well, what is that? And I'm gonna ask for the audience to kind of jump in. It was that rule 34 or is it rule 39? I can't remember the rule where if it exists, there's porn about it. I mean, at the end of the day, I was that rule 34 or rule 39? One of those.
That's 34. I just learned about 34. That the other day. Yeah.
Yes, rule 34. So, it's kind of like, hey, listen. If you ever look at if you ever watch the trends of Google searches and anything that was happening, a lot of people were searching. And then, you know, is Alec Baldwin dead? Is, you know, how do you make a bomb? And they started doing things with Google that you could do. And it's literally anything. And then they started creating frameworks around what you should do, but you should not do. And ChatGPT is that exact same principle where if it can be done, it will be done. And they have already set up frameworks. So one of the first things I experimented with was, well, you seem to know everything. Who's going to win the 2023 Super Bowl? And it says, we, due to a morale clause, et cetera, are unable to provide that information. And I am fascinated that they put that in that soon. So the point is that there are frameworks and there are rules in robotics and AI that they have to adhere to. Can't ever harm a human, can never let a human be harmed, et cetera. And you see that in movies, but this is the same. We're going to be there. And I can't stress how important it is that we start looking at what about how to make a small firecracker? And then what can that evolve into? How can I do X with code? And what can that evolve into? That's malware. That's taking over an entire platform and causing severe damage. So I don't know how they're going to govern this, but I do know that you can easily write script. But I do not know how they're going to govern what the functionality will end up being from what they provide out there. So anyway, we can talk about this for hours and hours in speculation. I am simultaneous. It's a cocktail of emotion for me. I'm so excited, but I'm just as terrified where this could go.
So one of the things that strikes me is this is the cybersecurity analyst dilemma. This is people are going to find new ways to break stuff and go around the rules. And what this article is talking about don't write it for me, but give me the steps I would take if I wanted to, right? It's like if you go on a plane and I'm not going to say the BOMB word, but I'm going to talk about things that use wires to possibly create that combustion and right, it's like it's skirting around it, but still getting to the same end result. And it's curious to see how they're going to prevent. It's cool that they started off preventing or planning to prevent this stuff. And it's equally funny that people got around it almost immediately. I'd love to see what happens with it. Like, I'm not rooting for the bad guys. It's just interesting to see how they get around it. Tony, I'm getting a call about my car warranty. Can you take the next story for me? Yes.
Jumping into the next story from NBC4i.com, Ohio's Attorney General sues local companies for illegal robocalls. Ohio's Attorney General has filed a lawsuit against six individuals and six companies for violating several Ohio consumer robocall laws. Quote, they're breaking a bunch of different laws, including misrepresenting what they're calling about, failing to identify who they actually are, failing to register, and failing to get a written confirmation when they get a verbal agreement to make a sale. All of these are violations of Ohio law. The suit alleges that Pelican, the company that paid for the illegal calls, made pre-recorded calls selling vehicle service contracts. Ray, there's a lot to unpack here, and here's why I really, really like this story. We've all got the extended contract call, the extended warranty call. But in some capacity, us as business owners, even starting off in the sales days, we have made calls and calls and calls and calls, and we've broken laws. Everyone's broken laws to some degree. But this happens not in just the automobile industry. This is happening across the board, and it's becoming easier and more scalable and autonomous with robocalls and pre-recorded calls and technology. So my question is this the time that they're actually cracking down on that technology and the execution of that technology? And is this something that every single MSP, which calls customers all the time for new business, should be concerned about? Because frankly, at some point, kind of like a text to confirm scenario or a the text alerts that you're getting, are those going to be grouped into those spam calls? Or should we be concerned? I'm trying to figure out how technology is being simultaneously governed and at the same time potentially attacked for those that are using it in the positive way. Give me your thoughts on this.
So as the owner of a VoIP company, this one hits like right. I'd love to see local governments taking action, and local being state in this case, but the Ohio AG. But I'd love to see at a closer level governments taking action, right? FTC, FCC absolutely should. Not a question. That's what stir shaking is meant to prevent, because realistically what happens is they're faking the phone numbers. And if these are using, it's pure voice over IP and they're spoofing the phone numbers, it is really, really, really hard to track down where the calls came from, especially if it has a mix of voice over IP plus PS, plain switch telephone network, so traditional phone services, because then you lose all the IP information of the routes, and it's incredibly difficult. So I love the idea of what they're trying to do. I'm curious as to the efficacy of it. I'm going to watch with closed eyes. Now, it sounds like they were able to track down some people, and that's fantastic. Get them all. Get them all! But, you know, and then the messaging is, the text messaging is just a whole other ball of wax, because text messaging is, it's actually governed at the moment by the cell phone carriers, the MNOs, mobile network operators. And they've set these ridiculous rules around, they're doing a different thing. So telephony, voice, has stir shaken. Basically, it's, I'm authenticating the call. Here's a third party. Here's a certificate. The calls, here's proving who I am, right? And then you have a way of validating the cert on your end when you receive the call. Awesome. The cell phone carriers have taken a different tact where they're saying, okay, well, you have to pay for registration for the campaign, or for the brand. Tony Francisco's the brand. And then you have a campaign because you want to be able to text out. And that's going to have an upfront and a monthly cost per campaign and per brand. And every carrier has their own costs, right? So you may have a T-Mobile number, but if you want to text AT&T, you're going to pay some extra fees to AT&T. And they can make up the rules whenever they want. And they have done so several times in the last 12 months. And it's not cheap. So, and they're doing that under the auspices of they're trying to combat the robo spam text, which hasn't worked at all. And it has ridiculous fines and all that stuff. And funny enough, that's something I was just talking about needs to be taken over by the government. The MNOs are showing that they're so greedy, they can't be trusted for this. So yeah, I know that was a whole, that I apologize for getting on my soapbox and just ranting and raving about this. But this is one of those that's like, you know, right in the heartstrings.
Well, I think it's important for everyone to understand that this is not just a singular, a single thread conversation. This spans multiple industries, multiple technologies, and frankly, multiple laws, because we're trying to figure out what the best way to do this is. And if we don't have the best way to do this, there's going to be people that not just only take advantage of it, but people use it and misrepresent the way it should be used very quickly and easily. And you have a front row seat to that every day, unfortunately. So, we should probably do another kind of an add-on, discussion about that particular process, because it affects all of us.
I like that.
Ray, let's talk about some good news. You got some good news, right?
I mean, I have good news if you've been Twitter. Yes, I'm trademarking that. So, my second top story in the security realm, cybersecurity expert offers advice for millions affected in the Twitter hack, written by Brianna Andrews of News4Jax. Personal emails linked to 235 million Twitter accounts were exposed in a breach that appears to have taken place before Elon Musk took over. Though passwords were not leaked, hackers now have the chance of guessing and resetting them, especially if they are more common. Cybersecurity expert Christopher Hammer advises Twitter users to change their passwords and make sure their two-step authentication is on. He added that choosing a password that is more than 8 characters with numbers and symbols to make it harder for hackers to access your account will help you. According to cybersecurity experts, the breach will cause an increase in targeted phishing emails and doxing. Tony, before I ask your opinion, I realize there are those in our audience that have heard us talk about these exact things in separate, heard us talk about complex passwords, not reusing passwords, turn on MFA, even talked about the Twitter hack. And so they're out there screaming, no, Sherlock. I get that. But it seems we have to keep saying it over and over again. So, and that's what we're doing. We're doing it for the public good.
Do we give everyone Palm Pilots? Is that
it's never had MFA. So
I just want to be very clear. I just want to let me summarize everything for everyone. So Twitter was attacked. They 235 million Twitter accounts were pulled, and the recommendation is change your password. I just want to summarize in general. Okay.
Congrats. We can now, we'll report on your story next episode of Dispatch.
Not only is reporting on this laborious, but it's mind numbing. It's the same common denominator. Change your passwords, change your passwords, change your passwords, change them often. Don't have the same password in multiple locations for long periods. There's a variety of things that occur. However, the good news is that if you don't have the same password in multiple locations and you have, what would be a way to manage those passwords?
If there was a manager for passwords, is that what you're trying to get
what
to?
What would you call a manager of passwords? Maybe a text pad? No. Yes. So, but if you had, let's just call it password manager. I don't know if that's the right way of saying it, but if you have
a password. No, but I think you're coining a great term. Let's stick with that one.
Yeah. I don't think it'll ever go. So if you had a password manager and you could provide a unique complex password for every single one of your accounts, so in the event that your account was attacked, it would be that username, which is your email address, it's a pretty common denominator across the board, can then be scanned in multiple other vendors. And if your password is the same, then there's just an eventuality where your Home Depot, Amazon, Citibank, whatever it is, all these accounts are going to be consumed and you're unfortunately at fault for that. If you silo them with a unique password, you have nothing to worry about other than being alerted that this particular account was compromised and you need to update your password. Please, everyone, get a good password manager. Just go one time and create a unique password, a complex password in some capacity at every single one. It's an evening, break open a beer, a cider, a glass of wine, whatever your choice is, and just do it for the sake of everyone. Then when an attack, and it's just a when an attack occurs, then it's one of those, and you change your password and it doesn't affect anything else. But it is for the betterment of everyone that this should be done.
If this were a PSA, it would be Tony the Francisco says only you can prevent password reuse. So I'm totally down for that. I'm absolutely totally down for that. It sucks the number of times we have to say it, but we're both technologists. We're both technology professionals. We've both been in the space a very long time and we know how long things tend to take for change to happen. And I don't expect everyone to have their little YubiKey with them or whatever their tokens are. I do expect everybody to have some second factor of authentication. It's 2023. Let's start the year right. Let's be honest. You're not going to hit the gym every day like you said you were going to, but you can absolutely take one of these and plug it into your phone or into your computer. But, that's enough for now. Let's get into the notables.
Coming straight out of the gate, my first notable mention is Amazon S3 will now encrypt all new data with AES 256 by default. From bleepingcomputer.com, Amazon's simple storage service, S3, will automatically encrypt all new objects added in on buckets on the server side using AES 256 by default. While the server side encryption system has always been available for AWS over a decade, the tech giant has enabled it by default to bolster security. Administrators will not have to take any actions for the new encryption system to take effect in their buckets, and Amazon promises that it won't have any negative performance impact. And in my next notable mention, from bleepingcomputer.com, Microsoft ends Windows 7 extended security updates today, Tuesday. Windows 7 Professional and Enterprise Editions will no longer receive extended security updates for critical and important vulnerabilities starting today, Tuesday, January 10th, 2023. The Extended Security Update, ESU, program that was the last resort option for customers who still needed to run legacy Microsoft products past the end of their support on Windows 7 systems. All editions of Windows 8.1, launched 9 years ago on November 2013, will also reach end of service on the same day. Microsoft recommends to customers with devices that don't meet the technical requirements for a more recent Windows release to replace them with ones that support Windows 11 to take advantage of the latest hardware capabilities.
In my first notable mention, 411 is going out of service for millions of Americans starting today. Written by Nathaniel Mayerson for CNN. During the 20th century, operator services were a selling point to customers, and AT&T offered different kinds of information requests via operator, be it the weather forecast, bus schedules, sports scores, or telephone numbers. At the time, operators were the most efficient way for customers to locate any information. Directory assistance was also mostly free until the 1970s. In 2021, AT&T wireless callers could no longer dial 411 or 0 to reach an operator. And starting this month, AT&T will no longer offer operator services to customers with digital landlines, according to the company's website. Customers are now instructed to find addresses and phone numbers on Google or online directories on their own. Verizon, T-Mobile, and other major carriers still offer these services for a fee. In my second notable mention, Windows 11 version 22H2 hit with a text conversion bug, written by Joe Rogan for MSPowerUser.com. Microsoft confirmed that Windows 11 22H2 is hit with a bug that causes issues where text conversion in Japanese, Korean, and Chinese may not work correctly. The issue usually results in the conversion candidate window displaying unexpected options and the selection of the wrong sequence of characters for conversion. The company is looking into what might have caused the problem and is working on a fix that might roll out on the upcoming Patch Tuesday update. It has not provided any temporary solutions.
Get ready to learn and grow with these amazing upcoming events. Today, January 10th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tradecraft Tuesday, presented by Huntress. Tomorrow on January 11th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP. And January 17th through the 19th, an in-person event, seven-figure MSP sales and marketing live event in Phoenix, Arizona. And here's what we have coming up in the MSP Media Network. On January 13th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch Weekly Wrap-Up presented by the MSP Media Network. On the 17th at 10 a.m., we have another episode of the MSP Dispatch. On January 19th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Tech Bar Podcast, episode number 50 with Tim Golden. And finally, on January 25th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Partner First webinar featuring compliance risk.
Today I'm joined by Mr. Mendy Green and Kyle Spooner. Mendy, what's happening next year, man?
Next year, we are hosting our very first in-person conference called MSP GeekCon, and it's going to be amazing.
It is going to be amazing. This is a conference unlike any other you will have come across, but it also marks a very special anniversary for Geek.
MSP Geek was founded in May of 2013. So during this conference in May of 2023, it will be our 10th anniversary.
MSP GeekCon is the first that it's focused entirely on the tech, but also the tech's evolution over time.
It's going to be a conference where we have specifically focused it around learning for the technician in this case. We are doing it around a journey, specifically the journey of a technician going from tier one to tier three. So if you're a tier three technician doing it already, you will have a clear understanding of what it is that you're doing instinctively, and you'll be able to do it better, on demand, immediately, more efficiently. And if you're a tier one, tier two, and you're growing, then this is the path that you need to start thinking in order for you to grow into that tier three role.
The link is below, mspgeekcon.com. But if there's something you want to see at mspgeekcon, hit up Kyle or Mendy or any of the admins on Geek and let them know we want to see this at the conference. With that said, I hope to see everybody at MSP GeekCon until May. I'll see you guys later. So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know that we care about what you care about? And that's why we have a Discord where we post stories all week long. You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. The links are in the show notes. And as my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, that's a hell of a show. We trademarked new words. Like Twitter and poor Phil and his Dolphins. We know we can't call 411 anymore. We may be getting new Palm Pilots on our next flight. I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to it. How do you feel about today, man?
I feel like I learned, like we're doing the broadcast and we're laughing so much in the back in the green room or in the post-production. I feel so bad for them, but there's all this stuff is going, but I'm actually learning as we're going, and it's fascinating. You were talking about the 401 being cut, and I'm like, no, you've got to be kidding me. And anyway, I love the show. Absolutely love the show. And I love the feedback, the personal feedback that I get from the audience members, the public stuff that we receive. Everyone, if you're listening to this, ask a question. Say something. Talk about this. And I love, yet fear, the Discord channel where now people can post an article. Talk about this.
And we have hobbies on the Discord server. We're going to start doing live streams on the Discord server, posting all our events. We may even do some live stream behind the scenes before and after. We can do all these crazy things because we have brand new staff to do all this awesome stuff under Matt Fox. So we just sit back and look stupid and they make it better. So for that, we say thank you. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves and each other.
Take care, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Oh, yeah, we care about what you care about. Now you give me something, you know.
I was just saying the exact same thing.
Hold on. First of all, I'm just going to throw out the fact that you did not properly pronounce the word. It's turquoise. Not turquoise, turquoise.
Is that like rodeo?
Like Tarjay.
Oh, this is awesome.
And you're on mute. I'm going to keep waiting while you're on mute. You are on mute.
Oh, that's okay. There was enough before the show started that this may actually be left out as a blooper.
Oh, we said that the first thing, first New Year's resolution, I will not be on mute anymore.
All right. New Year's resolutions are made to be broken the first week. I win. So, all right. So now
jumping into the next story from NBC4i.com, Ohio Attorney General. Okay. Administrators will not have to take any actions to perform the... Here we go. In my next notable mention, from bleepingcomputer.com, Microsoft ends Windows 7 extended... Hold on. Windows 7 extended... extended security updates on Tuesday. Got it. Here we go.
I was muted. All right. In my first notable mention, 411 is going out of service for millions of can get through one sentence.
And jumping into our community of that come out. Wow, I'm doing really good so far. Here we go. And jumping into our community events, get ready to learn and grow with these amazing you know what I'm saying.
Is everything all right?
Oh, he's on mute. He's on mute.
I'm not on mute. I cut myself off because I heard Matt talking. So
The video cut out. Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought that was like a technical glitch. I was seeing that.
It's just because the video, I feel like it's way too long for when we're recording. So just to keep things flowing, because Phil is just going to add it in post show.
That's a good point.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, and in that case, Ninja.
Well, in that case.
Bada bing, bada boom. Yeah. All right. So, where's my? I need to do that again because I didn't even mention the fact that there's a fucking link in the bottom. This is what happens when I try to take your advice, Mr. Fox.
Actually, that was something I was fully ready to put into post. I was going to say, hey, Phil, let's do a semi-transparent overlay over Ray as he's talking about Discord. So 100% a share of voice ends up there. Don't we got this? Just do your thing.
So,
we got
so you're saying that even when I f- you can make it better. Okay, great. I like this. That's what he just said. You know that, right? He's like, no, we expected you to so we got this. We're going to do it in post.
He's like, Ray, hey, Ray, do you realize that we only use...
You know what? I'm a documentation 3%. Person. I care about workflows. And I believe one of the first sentences from CEO expectations is we expect ourselves to make mistakes. Mm. No?
You know he's going to replace us with AI, Tony.
I think about it all the time. I was literally saying what he's actually saying, Ray, is that I use about 3% of your actual production and then I actually make something with it.
That's
like
exactly
97% of it's like, it's white noise.
All right. We are this close to closing this out on time. So here we go.